Romans chapter number 16. Romans chapter number 16. I want to be reading verses 25 through 27. Have a little bit of a different type subject matter this morning, but I believe the Lord will help us to get that understood. In Romans chapter number 16, verse number 25, it says, "Now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." I want us to think this morning upon the subject of the prehistoric age. I know that's a different subject matter, different topic or different thought. We read and we hear much in our society today about prehistoric things. We hear it in our science reports and science books, and TV commentators will talk about the prehistoric world. These statements are usually talking about a time that is before time is recorded, prehistoric or prehistory. And most of what is said is wrong because it is influenced by the evolutionary thought that is taught in our public school system. Today I want us to look at a time that was before time, from the biblical point of view. And I believe these verses here give us a little insight, or at least one verse here. It says, "The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." In these verses that we read this morning, we find both the word mystery and the word revelation of mystery. A mystery is something difficult to explain or difficult to understand. In the mysteries of the Bible, we find the mind and the purpose of God hidden from the sinner, but has been revealed through the Spirit to the believer. You see, you and I this morning, we have someone that works for us and someone that works with us, and someone that lives within us to help us to understand these things that are given as mysteries and revelations in the Bible. In Romans chapter 11 and verse number 33, it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out." His ways are past finding out with our finite mind. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God asked Job one day, he says, "Where were you when I put all these things into motion?" 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." When we think of God and we think of eternity, our understanding and our reasoning, it begins to break down. Because we are creatures of the tick of the clock. We are creatures of time. And God is God of eternity. So when we think of this, our understanding and our reasoning begins to falter us and begins to break down. Before there was anything, there was God. Now, I know that's against common thought today, but before anything was, there was God. In the beginning, God, the Bible says. This is the most profound theological statement of all the Bible. In the beginning, God. For on that statement hinges and rests all the fundamentals of our faith. That in the beginning, before time, there was this one called God. There was never a time when God was not. There will never be a time when God will not be. He is eternal. He is self-sufficient. He needs nobody or anyone to tell Him what to do. He knows it all. He is everywhere at the same time. He can do anything, and it's all summed up in the word, He is sovereign. In His foreknowledge, He planned it all. He knew it all. And thank God He knew us. It has been said many, many times, has it ever occurred to you that it never occurred to God? For there is no occurrences with the Lord. He is not surprised. He is not baffled. He is not shaken. He is not confused. He does not worry. He does not make mistakes. And He does not need our counsel. He's God. Before something happens, He knows that it's going to happen. My Scripture tells me some of these things, before it happened, He prepared for it to happen. He makes it possible to happen. He loves every man, He loves every woman, child, boy or girl that has ever lived or will live upon this earth. His love is unsearchable, it's incomprehensible, and thank God He knows all. And so I want us to think about some things that were before what we call history. Now, history is just the writing down of events that occur. The book of Genesis has much history in it. The Bible has much history. And you say it just right, the word history is His story. And so we find that these books of the Bible that we have as our collection of books, we find that gives us many, many revelations of the things concerning our God and His Son, Jesus Christ. But I want us to go back before in the beginning, or before when God said, let there be. Why? Preacher, there's nothing that we can know that's before what God said, let there be light, or that He made the earth, or that God did all these things. There's nothing given to us that can let us know what was before or prehistoric. Well, I believe there are some things. Before there was ever a sinner in history, there was a Savior before history. Before there was ever a person that lived upon this earth and rejected God's Word, as Adam and Eve did, and plunged all the human race and mankind into being against God and depravity that's come upon him, before that ever happened, my Bible tells me that there was a Savior. The Scripture says in 1 Peter chapter number 1, and verse number 18 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now notice verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. This verse tells me in 1 Peter chapter number 1, these verses tell us that before the foundation of this earth was laid, there was one that was ordained to take away our sins. And we know that as He was manifest, His name is Jesus Christ. He was that Lamb that was made known in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. The Bible says, God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, speaking to Satan, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There is the first mention of a Savior. There is the first mention of one that would take care of the sinful mankind and the nature of man that has rebelled against God. And the Lord said, Satan, this seed of the woman is going to bruise your head. And that bruising is a bruise unto death. So we find that before the foundation of the world, there was one that was ordained to give life. He was made known there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 8. Abraham says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went together. God will provide himself. God being made manifest and being made known. John chapter 1 and verse number 29, we find the Lamb of God or Jesus Christ made known or manifest to this world. John seeth Jesus coming unto him, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." But before there ever was a man that sinned, there was a Savior that was willing and able and ready to come to this world. And John said, "There he is, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." John chapter 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "For this life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness and shown to eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." So here we find John saying he was with the Father, but he was made known or he's manifested unto us. And 1 John 4:9 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might have life through Him." So we find the Lamb of God was made known in Genesis. The Lamb of God was revealed in John. And then in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, he says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life slain, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." So here we find, before there ever was a sinner in history, there was a Savior. Thank God today Jesus Christ wasn't an afterthought with God. He was with God. He was God. There wasn't something that took place there in Genesis that and God had to say, "Well, now what are we going to do now?" I know the song says they searched all through heaven to see if they could find someone that would come and die. They didn't have to search. The Lamb of God was already there. And He was a Lamb that had been slain before the world was ever spoken into existence. Jesus Christ was the Savior of mankind. So I believe we can go back and we can find there are some things that are prehistoric. There are some things that are before history begins to be written down. There was a Savior before history. Number two, before there was guilt in history, there was grace before history. Thank God this morning for the grace of God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that's made manifest and known unto a lost and dying world. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus." When? Before the world began. Before the world began, these things were given to us in Christ Jesus. Before man ever strayed, there was grace to bring him home. Before man ever sinned, there was grace to make him clean. Before man ever was separated from God, there was grace to have him reconciled back to God. We find here that man has strayed and sinned, for the Scripture says all have gone astray. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Who's that him? That one before the foundation of the world. The Scripture says concerning our sins, Romans 3, verse 23 through verse 25, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith of His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God." Here we find that God tells us that Jesus came to take care of those that strayed and took care of those that have sinned, and for even those of us that have been separated from the grace of God. The Bible says, Isaiah 59 verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have He hid His face from you that will not hear." But before there was ever a sin, thank God there was grace. Before man and before Adam and Eve fell, the grace of God was already working, already made manifest, and now it is shed abundantly and abroad in our hearts that all the world might hear, "Jesus saves, Jesus saves." Did it start just when Adam and Eve sinned? Did it start when Cain killed Abel? No, my friend, grace was a long time before that. Grace was manifested and was given a long time. It's not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And so we have here, before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. Before there was a sin, before there was guilt, And by the way, sin brings guilt upon us. Sin brings guilt upon you and I. When we falter, when we fail, when we sin against God, we are guilty in our own eyes and before God. But before that guilt ever came to us, thank God, there was grace to handle it and grace to take care of it. That's why we can call sinners to come and to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's no shortage in the grace of the Lord. There's no shortage in the abundant mercy of God. For when the world began, grace was already active. Grace was already there, and it was in the Lord Jesus Christ before this world ever began. Man has been separated from God, but grace brings him together. Grace puts him back into fellowship. Fellowship is broken, but grace binds it together. And here we find when man has sinned, and when man has fallen, and when man has strayed away from God, he's separated from God. The Bible says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself." Thank God we've been reconciled unto the Lord. It is a grace that saves us. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men." The grace of God saves us and puts us into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are a child of God. And it is by the grace of God, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. If I have anything to do with that, I can claim, look what I've done. But all the grace that come to man by way of the Lord Jesus Christ is a grace that does away with all works. And all the religions of the world that try to work and try to hold on and try to hold out, they are literally laughing in the face of God concerning His grace given at the expense of the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might have life through His name, that we would love Him and could come to Him and know that He will save us. We have been separated, but God will save us by His grace. Not only is grace saving grace, but I'm glad for those of us that are saved, it is sufficient grace. It's sufficient to work and to help and to do for us everything that is needed. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, in verse number 20, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." You have sin here, this level. Thank God, God's grace is this level. Where sin abounds, where sin comes up, I'm glad there's no sin that is beyond the reach of the grace of God. Now, there are some in Paul's day and even some in our day. I said, well, if grace abounds, then it's okay for us just to sin and sin and sin so God's grace can go up and up. Paul said, God forbid. You don't sin to order to show God's grace. But thank God when you do sin, God's grace is there to take care and to deliver and to help us. Before the world ever began, grace was given unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Before the world was ever spoken and God said, let there be, there was a Savior that would come. There is one that would die in history and die in time, but that was all before history ever started. As there was a Savior that would die in history, as there was a guilt and a grace that was before history, thank God, thirdly, before there was a punishment of death in history, there was a promise of life. There was a promise of eternity. Before there was a punishment of death in history, there was a promise of life in history. You and I today, we're living in right now, and tomorrow, today will be history. Yesterday is history. It can't be changed. It can't be altered. Last year is history. Last month is history. 10 years ago, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, those things are history. And you keep going back, you'll go back to the time when God said, let there be. Now, we know that the Scripture says, a soul that sinneth, it shall die. There is punishment. And the punishment for the unregenerate sinner is death. But before there was punishment, before that first one had to die, you see, when Satan come to Eve, he says, "Hath God said?" Did he really say? And he says, "Now, if you take of this fruit, God knows you'll be just like Him." And in that conversation between Satan and Eve, Satan gives forth the thought that you would not die. Satan says, "Well, now, God knows if you eat of this fruit, you would not surely die." "Oh, but you will surely die." But before there was a punishment of death, thank God there's a promise of life. The Bible tells us in Titus chapter 1, let me read verses 1, 2, and 3. "Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and acknowledging the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised." When did He promise this? Titus chapter 1, verse 2. "Eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." What did He promise? Life. Before that first man or woman had to die because of their sin, there was the promise of life. And Titus tells us that. But he says in verse 3, "But hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." Before man died, there is the promise of life. And that promise was given before the world began. Now it is made manifest or made known by preaching. The greatest thing that a person can do is to preach the gospel. I know there's been great men do other things, and there's great things to be done, but I believe the highest calling that God gives an individual is to preach the gospel. "For in that we make manifest these precious promises of God, and make manifest and make known the grace of God, make known the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world that needs Jesus Christ as their Savior." That's why we this morning took these pictures and looked upon them and thought, my, how terrible it is to have that kind of a place to go to church. And things need to be done. Things need to be helped. You know why we do that? Because we need to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. We've just finished our missions conference last week. It's not only here, but it's around the world at the same time. So before there was sin, there was a Savior. Before there was guilt, there was grace. Before there was punishment, there was a promise of life. Before there was a hell in history, there was a heaven. You realize that? Before there was a hell, there was a heaven. The Scripture tells us that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Now there's a time frame there. Lucifer fell from heaven and carried a third part of the angelic host with him. Now the Scripture says that hell has been prepared for them. Now, excuse me, hell was not prepared for man. But man goes there because he does not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But before hell was prepared, I'm glad, thank God, there was a heaven. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7 through 10. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us all in wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us," here's this word, "mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him." Heaven is for a redeemed people. It is for a people that has come unto the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted Him as their Savior. Heaven is a place where John says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions." And then he goes on and says, "I go prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." Those things have been made manifest. Heaven is for the redeemed. We are facing many problems in our country. We are facing many problems in our world. And all that we are seeing taking place is simply a getting things ready for the return of our Savior. One of these days, according to the Scripture, we're going to hear the sound of the trumpet. We're going to hear the voice of the archangel. And I believe we'll hear the words as John heard in Revelation chapter 4, "Come up hither!" And brother, we're going to be gone. There's not going to be any time to pack your bags. There's not going to be time to make things right. There's not going to be any time to do anything. We're gone. And we're not going to see the moon and the stars as we go by. We're going to be there in the twinkling of an eye. And heaven is a place for the redeemed. Wouldn't it be a wonderful time? Wouldn't it be great here upon this earth if we could just be with the redeemed? Wouldn't it be great if the world was run by redeemed people? Well, that hadn't happened. That won't happen. By the way, it's not happening today. But wouldn't it be great? And by the way, all the politicians are wanting us to have a utopia. Well, Adam and Eve didn't survive it. They had the best place that could ever be. They had the place, the garden of God. They had that which was given to them. And God said, "It's all yours. Do with it what you will. But one thing back there, don't take of that tree." You see, God has always reserved some things for Himself. Never has He given man free sway over everything. And so, when we get to heaven, oh, thank God there's not going to be any unregenerate people. I don't know how we're going to act. There's not going to be more dirty jokes. There's not going to be more slurs on TV. And there's not going to be more cursing. And not any more of those things that take place in this world. Brother, we're going to be changed. Our surroundings are going to be different. And before there was ever a hell that was thought of God, there was a heaven for us to go. So next time somebody talks to you about the prehistoric world, just tell them about a few things that was before history. Tell them about Jesus that was as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Tell them about the grace of God that was manifest and made known in this world, but yet it was in Him before the world began. Tell them about the life that God has promised us, the life that was given to us even before time began. And before death was prevalent. Tell them about before there was a hell, there was a heaven, and we're going there by the grace of God. It's for a redeemed people. Not only that, it's for a righteous people. Philippians 3:9 says, "And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Righteousness. No more stories about men and women abusing their children, killing the unwanted. Won't have to be voting on abortion rights. It's a shame and a disgrace that a nation as great as our nation so upholds that hideous thing of abortion. When we get to heaven, we're going to be among the righteous. And by the way, righteous people are not for abortion. I don't care if they're behind the pulpit or not. That crowd of preachers that stand behind pulpits and say it's all right and make it feasible and make it useful, they're not righteous. Amen, they're not righteous. That crowd out there that say they love God and do the things of the Lord, and yet they despise the thoughts of God's holiness and God's way of man and woman and boy and girl and children, those people are not righteous that belittle those things. But when we get to heaven, they're going to be righteous. They're going to be redeemed. When we get to heaven, thank God we're reconciled. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103, verse 12. May God help us this morning to know that there was a prehistoric age. It was the age that all these things. Paul says here to Romans, the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. And Jesus was slain before the world was even had foundation. And so there was a prehistoric age. I don't think we can comprehend what God has given to us. As much as we have looked this morning, as much as we have seen these verses, and by the way, in some Baptist churches you would never read these verses because it scares some people to death. It's still the book. I don't understand these people that don't think God knows everything. I have a problem with that. God's God. And these folks that don't think God's in control. You know what? God's in control of the vote that's taking place this morning in D.C. However the outcome is. I'd rather watch basketball. But our God is a God that controls, knows, and He's planned. And we can't comprehend it. How could there be before time? Because in the beginning, God. It didn't say in the beginning, God started. It just says in the beginning, God. Period. Beginning, God. Oh, but my Bible says there's more to come. But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. That's the redeemed. That's the righteous. That's the reconciled. And He tells us here, Paul says, why, you can't even imagine what God has for us. The best is yet to come. And it's all ours. Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, join heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we be also glorified together. And Paul uses a good southern term here, for I reckon. He says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. Sufferings that's coming, nothing compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The best is yet to come, and it's all ours. And whatever happens, happens. Whatever suffering comes to the believer, whatever suffering is in the round the world to believers, the best is yet to come. And that suffering is not anywhere to even be compared to the glory that's revealed in us through us in Him. Oh, may God help us to realize being a Christian is worth it. Being a child of God is worth all the struggles and all the trials all the heartaches. It'll be worth, what's those songs say? Every mile. It'll be worth it all when we see Him. Let's stand together this morning.